that shows where we believe these and what scholars believe about the placement or the time of these brethren when the Lord burdened them with his word. And it's interesting how that the Lord has that in the scripture, the burden of the word of the Lord unto, and name the prophet. It's interesting, that word burden. It would be a subject unto itself, but it's a great thing that is being given by the Lord, and it is something of great weight, something of a great consequence. It is a word given unto the prophet that he must speak. Okay, he will not be able to not speak it. And so is the case with Brother Joel. We've looked at this first chapter and how he is yet another prophet of the Lord, a seer, and that's an older time word of a seer that could see into the future. The Lord is laying that out before him. We have all of our Old Testament brethren, and then we have, for instance, Brother John the Apostle. He is prophetic. He is given to see into the future, and the Lord gave him the visions of himself and his prophecy in the book of the Revelation. And so we refer to them now as prophets, but that word is in the scripture, that reference is in the scripture. We saw and have seen about destruction, and the title that I've come forth with the book of Joel is a promise of judgment by desolation and deliverance by repentance, and that's what's shown here, a promise of desolation. The locusts would come and devour the food of the land, even the established stock of the food, trees, orchards, vineyards, things that take years to get established. It's all going to be desolate. It's all going to be wiped out. And we've seen that. You study in the scriptures and historically about the land of Israel. That's what the Lord brought to pass. It mentions the locust and the palmer worm and these different creatures that he used to do that. Then there's the coming of the army. And the reference is again unto locusts. And the Chaldeans, the Babylonians are referred to there. And we begin to see that in chapter 2, how the Lord has promised that he is going to send the nation of Babylon, the nation of the Chaldeans, unto them to destroy them, to enslave them, to take them captive. And that, so one aspect, the desolation of provision and food, but then the desolation of a nation. But then there's connection in there. There's things that we hear in there that refer to something that the Lord gives in the book of the Revelation about the coming destruction, the coming destruction of sinners and those that inhabit the earth. A difference made between the heathen, the unrepentant, and the unbelieving, and those that are sealed. Okay, and how all that is and how that will be, the Lord will show us and he will make it evident. But it's one thing for there to be a promise of locusts coming to destroy the food. There's another promise of the Lord sending an army, his army, to destroy a nation. But there's yet another for the Lord's vengeance to be meted out upon the unbelieving, where it gets personal. You see what I'm saying? It's one thing for the food in a long time ago. Another thing for an army to come and take and destroy a nation. Again, a long time ago. But it's yet another thing for the Lord to send his army under his command to deal with sinners. And may God have mercy that you not be there in that day. We bring that out, that sinners might hear and might know. The Lord has given these things in his word that sinners like you and I would be warned. The day of the Lord is what's mentioned again. The day of the Lord. And there are many days of the Lord, but then there will be the day of the Lord. And so may the Lord give us help in discernment about that. We saw is that in this, in chapter 2, that the Lord he didn't mention about this judgment of a coming army upon the nation, upon ultimately upon Israel and the divided kingdom in Judah, without mentioning in the latter part of, or the middle part of Joel in chapter 2 and verses 12 through 17, where he says, turn ye even to me with all your heart. Don't be rending your clothes, but rend your heart before me. Repent and come to me. And so we saw that last time in verses 12 through 17 about that blessed thing that the Lord, for the most part, always does when he warns. And remember, warns about judgment, warns about coming judgment, warns about the day of the Lord. And even this connection that we see about prophecy later on, given to Brother John on the Isle of Patmos. He gives this plea. He gives this statement that there is help. There is deliverance with repentance before the Lord. And so many times that is the Lord. And remember this about Joel. It's kind of the higher elevation prophetic warning to the nation. Because amongst the minor prophets, and just looking at them as a group, it is specific in some respects, but it is more general in some respects. Other brethren are given more and more and more and more and more detail. The warning gets enhanced. The details of the warning become more and more clear. A detail that no man could predict thousands of years before or hundreds of years before. Only God, who knows the beginning from the end. You know, that's one attribute about the Lord. He knows all. He knows the beginning from the end. He knows all of eternity. This is one aspect that you and I, that we can trust in him, because he knows the beginning from the end. As we've seen, and it's been mentioned on some occasions over the last year or two, our Lord even knows what would have happened if other things would have been done. He knows that. And so he is certainly the God Almighty that can be trusted. And so if you're here and you're not saved, we point you to him and we pray that you will repent of your sins and believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So in impleading of them. And I want to read some passages that have been on my heart quickly. And it's a theme in the book of Jeremiah. But I'll read these. You can turn if you want. But let me read these to you about what the Lord said he would do. And again, we're at the beginning. We're trying to go now in order in regards to the minor prophets time-wise. In Jeremiah 7, verses 25 and 26, the Lord says this unto Judah as she is in the midst of going down. Since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt, unto this day, I have even sent unto you all my servants, the prophets, daily rising up early and sending them. Yet they hearken not unto me, the people of the nation, nor inclined their ear, but hardened their neck. They did worse than their fathers. Right, daily rising up early and sending them. You know, you think about the beginning of the day. And we have things that we do and we plan to do, and that we get up and we get dressed, take a shower, eat breakfast, pray, read your Bible, meditate, talk to the Lord. We've got other things that we would look to do in the course of our day. Our Lord, what I see in these words of the Lord is that at the beginning of the day, we know that the Lord experiences no day, like you and I do. But this is top of his list. rising up early, sending his men with his word and warning. And how many hundreds of years did he do so? 40 with Moses. There's Egypt, right? 40 with Joshua. What do we find out about the book of Judges? Another 400 years. What is this time that we've seen about the nation of Judah? Another 400 years. All those hundreds of years, the Lord said he rose up early, he did rise up early, and he sent his men. Daily rising up early and sending them. And then towards the end of the book of Jeremiah, closer to the end, in Jeremiah 35, verse number 15. And there's several references in this book, an interesting study indeed for us to look at sometime. I have sent also unto you all my servants, the prophets, rising up early and sending them. Not a low priority, but the highest of priority, to send the word of the Lord with the reproof, with the rebuke, with the warning. Rising up early and sending them, saying, return ye now every man from his evil way, and amend your doings, and go not after the gods to serve other gods to serve them, and ye shall dwell in the land which I have given you and to your fathers. But ye have not inclined your ear, nor hearkened unto me. And so that's the way of the Lord, and that's the long suffering of the Lord. And so tonight, let's take a look here at what the Lord, with repentance, the Lord says, he will have pity, okay? With repentance, the Lord will have pity. Because, see, understand, how can we right ourselves? How can we pick up and establish our way? We need help, don't we? We need blessing. We need strength. We need help and provision. So it is with the nation, so it is with individuals. We need the Lord in every respect. So in Joel chapter 2, verses 18 through 27, I want us to consider the verbs, okay? We'll kind of take a flashback to English and try to hear the action. Okay, hear the action, and who's doing the action in this passage? With repentance, the Lord will have pity. He's laid down the warning of the judgment, and it's going to be desolation. He's made an offer to come unto him and to repent and turn from a wicked way and turn unto him. And he says, if that be the case, verse 18, then will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity his people. What was it that he declared unto them to do? He said here in verses 12, therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye unto even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning. Not a show, but a touched heart by the wickedness and the sin. To a touched heart of what the Lord has said is truthful. It's true. And rend not your heart, and rend your heart and not your garments. Turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him? Even a meat offering and a drink offering. And that references the desolation so great that the bounty, there's no reflection of the bounty even amongst the sacrifice with the priests. The priests are mourning because the worship is not whole. The sacrifices are not whole. And even by that of the meat offering and the drink offering, their provision is touched by the desolation. The Lord is there to bring desolation and judgment, and with repentance, he'll turn and leave a blessing. Who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sanctify a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Get everybody together. Not just a select few to do this for the nation, but everybody repent. You know, that's what we need in our nation. And so he says in verse number 18, then will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity his people. Yea, the Lord will answer and say unto his people, behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil, and ye shall be satisfied therewith. You mean when everything's desolate? When all the orchards are destroyed and all the vineyards are destroyed and the olive bushes or trees are destroyed, all of that. I mean, the Lord can turn that over and make that a blessing again. He can put it on fast forward, can't he? He can put it on fast forward, make a provision for it to happen, and bring it all back better than it ever was. He can do it. He can do it. Oil, and ye shall be satisfied therewith, and I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen. And listen to these words, because we're coming up on something here that we're going to have to, that with the Lord's help, I pray we can parse out. There's an order here that's at hand. So the Lord's made the threat. He's made the call to repentance. He states here about the pity that he will have. And then there's something else after this that we'll be dealing with. And he says, I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen. I ask in regards to Israel, when has that been? Has that been? I mean, there was in the days of Brother Ezra and Brother Nehemiah and Zerubbabel that the temple was rebuilt. Remember when Brother Chris was with us and he brought that out and brought drew that of a couple or a few of the prophets, the minor prophets together, and how it was with the age that were there in that day, that there was laughing, but there was weeping, and how Brother Ron referred to that. He said, the age that saw the Solomon's temple before it was destroyed, and they said, the way he termed it, he said, look at this little chicken coop compared to what was. I mean, they were glad, but they were hurt too. The former glory just wasn't there in that. But the Lord made a promise that even to this little rinky-dink thing that is here now, I'm going to bring one that is the greatest of all. And it was in that temple that our Lord Jesus worshiped, taught, and saved sinners and healed and came. Herod undertook a 40-year plus renovation and work of that, and looked to, it was a wonder by the time that he got done with it, but it still, as we understand, didn't touch what had been built by Solomon. Has it ever been, I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen? Has that ever been? Well, that temple, Herod's temple, Zerubbabel, the one built back in Ezra and Nehemiah's day, it was tore down too in 70 AD, wasn't it? And the Jews, how is it now with our present administration and our nation the outlook of our present administration is towards Israel? They're held in contempt and reproach. And it should not be. We will never be successful if we do. But the Lord says, there's coming a day, I will no more make you a reproach amongst the heathen. So when's that going to be? But I will remove far off from you the northern army. Well, I mean, best I understand, Syria is still a threat. Lebanon, still a threat. Russia, still a threat. And there are many in Europe that are dissatisfied with Israel, aren't they? There's always, has the Northern Army been removed? I will drive him, he says here, into a land barren and desolate with his face toward the East Sea. Now, we know what the Lord did with Babylon. We know about the Medes and the Persians and the overtaking of that. Babylon is more to the east than the north. I will drive him into a land barren and desolate, and his face forward to, with his face toward the east sea, and his hinder part towards the utmost sea, and his stink shall come up, and his ill savor shall come up, because he hath done great things. Has that happened? Verse 21, fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. He will. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field. Remember how the prophecy was such that there's going to be such desolation that the cattle and even the beasts of the field, the wild animals would be in groaning and mourning because there would be nothing to eat. The Lord's blessing will be so that even he will take care of the beasts of the field. For the pastures of the wilderness do spring, and the tree beareth her fruit. Now, when in antiquity, when in time has it been like that? We've talked recently about how, or I think among some of the brethren here in recent times about Israel feeds that part of the world. Now, the Lord has blessed Israel from the standpoint of horticulture and that they are able to take that desolate land, and it's the blessing of the Lord, the beginning of the blessing of the Lord upon them, technology-wise and ability-wise, that they are able to take and grow things. So you look at satellite images, green, 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 brown. And where Israel owns, they grow where the soil's right. And then where other nations have their property, very little. So it's beginning to happen. But is it like it was in Canaan? Is it a land that flows with milk and honey again? Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring. For the tree beareth her fruit, and the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Verse 23, be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and will cause to come, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. He'll control the rain for you. The rain that he took away and made the place a desert, he'll give it back. Can he do that? He sure can he? Because he made it in the first place. With repentance, the Lord will have pity. Listen to this, verse 24. And the floors shall be full of wheat. What's that talking about? The threshing floor. Remember how there was a mention, there was no need for a threshing floor, no need for a garner. It's all broke down. You know why? There's nothing to thresh. There's nothing to break open and get the germ out of the husks and to thresh it there and to separate it. No need for a garner because of the destruction of the Lord. There's nothing growing. There's nothing to put up. He says the floors will be full of wheat, and the fats, the wine fats, shall overflow with wine and with oil. What's that oil? It's olive oil, the growing of olives. There's the scriptural oil to use, olive oil. It'll be running over. How many olives does it take to make a gallon of olive oil? I think more than a dozen, don't you? Verse 25, and I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten. Who could do that? The Lord said he'll restore it. He'll make the future bounty so great that that will be restored. How could any man make that up? Restore. He'll bring it back. And I think the bounty will be greater than anything ever seen. When has this ever happened? The years that the locust hath eaten, and the canker worm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, these are the four that the Lord said were part of his, were his armies that he would send to make desolate the food of the land. The first warning. The first judgment of desolation. My great army which I sent among you. Verse 26. And ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied. It means in plenty. That means you're going to have choices. There'll be all kinds. Eat till you're not hungry anymore. There'll be bounty. And be satisfied. It won't be here, eat a little bit and this will tide you over till you get to the next little meal. No, be satisfied. Be able to eat to full. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God. Remember, they had become dissatisfied with the Lord. They had sought other gods to worship. They blasphemed his name and his blessing upon them and their land and their and the people. But with repentance, there's pity and a blessing indeed that he will leave behind. And praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. Now, in regards to the Jews and scattered Israel, has that happened? It's not happened yet, has it? This great blessing upon this land has not happened. I think that there's microcosm of it. There's here and again, Israel now feeds that part of the world, but it's not land wide. I mean, they're trying to take all the land that they can and make it fruitful. But they've got to use device to do so. This is not with device. This is the Lord's blessing upon the land as it is. And what he does. Has that happened? And my people shall never be ashamed. Verse 27, and ye shall know, there it is with the prophet, ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel and that I am the Lord your God and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. Has that happened? Well, it hasn't, has it? It just hadn't happened. Will it happen? Oh, yeah, it sure will. One day it will. And then the passage here that you and I trust that we are familiar with, is this here in Joel 2, verses 28 through 32. With repentance, the Lord will have pity. And with repentance, the Lord will pour out his Spirit. And it shall come to pass, verse 28, afterward. So afterward. After the repentance, after the pity, has the nation of Israel repented? Not as a nation. Are there Jews that have trusted in Christ and believe in Christ? Yes. But as a nation, she's not. Has this great national blessing and restoring of the land and the removal of the contempt and the shame from the rest of the world amongst whom the Lord has scattered his nation, has that been brought to an end? No, not yet. Not yet. We see signs. We see signs in our day that the time of that is nearer than it's ever been, of course. But then we have this, and it shall come to pass afterward, after these things, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaidens in those days will I pour out my Spirit. The Lord is going to take his Spirit and pour him out. Not only is there going to be the provision that they need, but there's going to be, he's promised there's going to be a touch and a connection from God Almighty to his people, to his children, individually, via the Holy Spirit of God. That a thing that has never been before is going to be. And it's not going to be just by the seer and just by the prophet. But did you hear their handmaidens? Sons and daughters. And servants. Verse number 30, verse 29, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. And the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. We've already talked about it. He's already spoken about the day of the Lord. But now there's this mention of this great and terrible day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass, verse 32, it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Repentance. Yes, Lord, I'm wrong. We are wrong and you are right. Help us. Help me. Help. Help according to what you have said that you would help. Help with the help that you said that you would help with. I'm in need. And I have no other help. Lord, help us. Lord, help me. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance. As the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. He's going to do some calling. He's going to do some calling, and they are going to hear. So what do you think? Of course, Brother Mark is fresh on Brother Mark's heart and mind and those in his class, because he's covered this in Acts chapter 2. And in Acts chapter 2, we'll turn over there quickly. In this passage, we are told in the scriptures that this has come to pass. So again, we have this timing thing. Well, has it been that the warning has been given and the Lord has sent his army? Well, he sent his army of those creatures and they devoured the land. He sent his army of the Chaldeans and they came and they took the people, his nation into captivity, and they have been scattered. And then even ultimately in 70 AD, it was done. Even the rebuild was done away with, and they've been dispersed across the world. But have they repented? Well, some have, but not as a nation. Well, how is it that we get this, that in regards to this pouring out of the Spirit, and it shall come to pass afterward, as it's mentioned there in Joel 2:28. It's given an indication of an order. And then we have this in Acts 2 where he says, well, this has already happened. Where's the other things before? In Acts chapter 2, we see here that's the day of Pentecost. And I trust you know the account that there's this great, the Lord is is publicly sanctioning his church. She's already been built. She's already been equipped. She's already been taught. She's been given her mission. But to the world, the Lord is declaring, this is my institution. This is my institution where my word will go out unto the world. That's an interesting thing that is done there. 17 different languages or ethnicities or regional peoples are here. The message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in the language in which they were born as these ignorant Galileans, for the most part, preach the word of God. There's been a manifestation of this cloven tongue, which I think is indicative of them being able to preach in their own language and the Spirit of God taking that and changing that in the ears and the hearts of those that hear. This is my institution. It's not Israel for the work that I have ahead, but my institution, my church, my ecclesia, that will come and will cause other ecclesias to other groups across the world that will have this mission to speak forth the word of God and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to every creature. Well, you know, there's some naysayers there, some gainsayers there. Say, well, these people are drunk. Well, if they were drunk, they couldn't speak sense. They weren't drunk. And Peter grabs a hold of that, and he preaches here, and in verse number 16, we pick it up, and he says, it's too early for us to be drunk. It's 9 a.m. or before. Verse 16, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Again, listen to the action, what God would do. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, and blood and fire and vapor of smoke. And the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Peter says, this is that. And it's true. It is. But then this vapor and smoke and fire and this darkness and moon into blood and the great and notable, the great and terrible day of the Lord. When he's speaking here, he's speaking about, we come to understand, I think, with what we know in the other passages in the scripture, he's talking about a great span of time, isn't he? That came to pass that day nearly some 2,000 years ago. But the great and terrible day of the Lord has not come to pass. Oh, the day of the Lord came for Israel in 70 AD. The day of the Lord came back when Nebuchadnezzar did his business in 598 and 606-ish BC. But that greatest of days of the judgment of the world and what the Lord's going to bring to pass worldwide, that day hadn't come. But Peter says, this part of it has come to pass today. The Lord is going to deliver Israel with a great, great deliverance when he comes back to this earth. The Lord Jesus is. He's going to have 144 witnesses, 144,000 witnesses out of the tribes of Israel, 12,000 apiece that are going to be a witness of him and to that nation. And what the Lord did with those Jews back there on the day of Pentecost is a blessing to you and me, the Gentiles, even to today. But I'm of the opinion that one day the Lord will do such things even in the nation of Israel at his coming or before, and with his 144,000 that will witness amongst them, and he's going to do these things from then to then. Right now, we're the benefactors of what he did there on Pentecost and before in building his church. But the Lord will do so with his nation, and then he will bring the great and terrible day of the Lord that he'll bring them back. That'll be part of what's done. And so, the order question that I've posed unto you. Well, he's giving it in an order that needs to be, in which it needs to be received, but not necessarily in the order that it will be for all cases. It's the order that Israel needs for her to be delivered, but she's not been delivered yet. They do need to repent. And when they do repent, the Lord will bring a phenomenal blessing upon them in their land. And when they see their Savior, I couldn't help but think of what the Lord says in Zechariah chapter 12. When they see him, and they see him like you and I have seen him in salvation, they will mourn and they will wail because their forefathers rejected him the first time. And the Spirit of the Lord indeed will be poured out upon them. And there's no telling what the Lord will do in that nation and amongst his people in that regard. But praise God that what he did at Pentecost and what he did in his ministry has extended to the likes of us who have nothing to do with the nation of Israel. So, there in Joel chapter 2, well, the order is significant. It's significant for the nation of Israel. But the thing there that is mentioned, that is brought forth there at the end of the chapter, has been accomplished, or where we read, has been accomplished, as Peter says, at Pentecost. And you know what else is at hand? Is this. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the way that it is, isn't it? The Lord called us, showed us our sin, showed us our need, and showed us his gift, the Lord Jesus Christ, as the only help and the only answer. And I don't know about you, but I called on him because I was afraid. I called on him because I had a need. And he was merciful to show me that need and show me in whom was the help and the answer. The blessing, the bounty, the forgiveness, the Savior. So we're sure glad that even though this order is here for Israel, that the latter was accomplished then, aren't we? Praise God for it. As I mentioned to you, here in Zechariah chapter 12, the Lord says in verse number 9 that he will destroy the nations that come against Jerusalem. And that is that great, terrible, notable day of the Lord. And we read in verse number 10, and I will pour, there it is again, I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. I tell you what, this pouring out of the Spirit's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Pouring out of the Spirit in salvation. Pouring out of the Spirit of him, the person of God, upon his church. Pouring out of his Spirit upon his nation. to save sinners, for his institution, and to bring his institution that was made desolate because of her wickedness and her sin and her blasphemy against her God, to pour out his spirit upon them again and bring them back. I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, Jesus says. And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. And in that day shall there be a great mourning in Jerusalem. Will they be calling upon the Lord? Oh, they sure will. Repentance. Forgiveness. And you know what the Lord will do? He will show them pity. And all those blessings that are spelled out by Brother Joel. And in that day, verse 11, shall be great mourning in Jerusalem as the mourning of Hadad-Aram in the valley of Megiddon. And I'll let the brethren that are doing Sunday school class tell you what that is. And the land shall mourn, every family apart, and the family of the house of David apart, and their wives apart, the family of the house of Nathan apart, and their wives apart, and the family of the house of Levi apart, and their wives apart, the family of Shimei apart, and their wives apart, all the families that remain, every family apart, and their wives apart, they will repent and mourn indeed. And when that is done, whenever the Lord says it's done, you know what the Lord will do? He'll say, come over here by me. Come over here near me. And let's move on to the blessing that I have in store for you. What a day that will be. If you're here and you're not saved, I pray that God will open your eyes and open your heart and open your ears to his greatness, his goodness, his long suffering, and his mercy. I can't do it, but I pray that he would do so for you. And we do pray that way. Because I tell you what, the desolation and destruction is more than any sinner can comprehend. The eternalness of that desolation and destruction for the soul that was found without Christ, as they pass from this life to the next, cannot be understood and comprehended. With repentance in the Lord Jesus Christ, there's deliverance. And may the Lord help you, and would you call upon the name of the Lord.